On July 7, 2005, terrorists exploded bombs in London, killing 52 people and injuring 700. The people of the United Kingdom called that day 7/7.
Just a warning for you, from today, Chiltern Railways, none of their trains calling at Sudbury and Harrow Road and Sudbury Hill Harrow. You've also got Southeastern services suspended Charlton's Blackheath after a points failure, tickets being accepted on the Docklands Light Railway, and the Tubes, delays on the Northern and Bakerloo lines, delays on the Northern and Piccadilly lines. You've also got no Northern line service Morden to Stockwell with a breakdown, and delays on the Bakerloo as well. Jules Wilson, BBC London 94.9, next updates in 15 minutes.
BBC London 94.9 FM. And BBC Radio London on digital.
On TV, on radio, online.
This is BBC London.
London's news at 9, changing the law, planning the stadiums. London's 2012 Olympics are already taking shape. Regenerating the planet is the task for the G8 leaders in Scotland, and a Kenyan boy at the centre of a visa row arrives in the capital. Good morning, I'm Richard Foster. The members of London's victorious Olympic campaign team have now got 7 years to regenerate the East End. BBC London 94.9's Max Rushton has more.
Slepko might be used to sprint finishes, but this time he knows that won't be enough.
This is 7 years of very, very hard, unremitting work.
After 64 years without the Games, we'll have another opening ceremony.
The hour has struck. The eyes of the world today and for these next 14 days will be on London.
So, what to do? Well, there's a lot of building, £560 million worth to be precise, and with that comes security. It's a big deal. The Chief Commissioner of the Met is Sir Ian Blair.
London is a terrorist target, and particularly the postcard sites of London have been all along, and it is again that experience. But what is important to recognise is that because we're broadly in new build territory, these games will be built to contain security.
Reassuring words, and even though there's a lot of time to go, the knock-on effects are already being noticed.
020-7224-2000, 25 minutes past nine. There's been an incident at Liverpool Street. Pete joins me in the studio. Pete Wilson can tell us what's been going on. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. We're just trying to figure out exactly what this is. We've been told that there was something that happened during the rush hour this morning with reports of a bang. Now, what we're getting from British Transport...
Sorry, of a bang, an explosion?
No, a bang. It was just a noise that was reported at the time, and that's what people started to think as to what was going on. We've now been told it looks like there could have been a collision between two trains involved on it that may have caused a power surge. Now, the advice at the minute is for people not to try and use the underground simply because...
The whole system.
Yeah, because the power's kind of gone through. It's shut everything down at the minute, right. So there's not really much running. The latest from British Transport Police say that there are a few people have been hurt. We haven't got any figures yet. They've been described as walking wounded.
The incident was at Liverpool Street?
Liverpool Street, yeah. It's thought there's now been some kind of power surge that's gone through affecting Bank and King's Cross. So it's going to have quite a bit of a knock-on effect. Obviously, it's still coming through at the minute, so the best advice is probably listen to the travel bulletins come out at 9:30 especially. They'll give the latest. But at the moment, the advice is to stay away from the underground for the time being because of this.
Thank you very much indeed. 020-7224-2000. If you were at Liverpool Street this morning and you know what's gone on, give me a call, please, straight away. 020-7224-2000. But the advice at the moment, stay off the tube. 26 minutes past nine, we'll have a full travel update for you. Bang on, 9:30. Take a quick break, back in a moment.
You're listening to London's radio station.
How do you intend to prove to Londoners that you are indeed a thief taker rather than a social engineer?
Next Tuesday morning, the Met Police Commissioner, Sir Ian Blair, answers to you.
My job is to make London safe, and how am I going to be judged? Let's see how safe London is in 5 years' time.
Your concern...
At 9:27 minutes past nine at the moment. Let's go to Sean in Bexley, first time caller.
Good morning, Courtney, how you doing?
I'm fabulous, what do you want to say?
Well, I was all ready to rant and rave when I heard that the whole tube network was down, and thinking, oh my God, what does this spell for the Olympics?
Yeah.
And one of the things they picked up on was the transport.
They did.
And then I heard that there was, you know, probably an incident where probably people have been hurt, so I'm going to sort of less rant and rave, but, you know, it does bring some concerns, doesn't it, about London's transport and how just one incident can affect the whole lot, and, you know, that's my thing, really.
But do you feel that you're happy about the Olympics coming today or not?
Breaking news we're getting from the PA Newswire that there's been reports of an explosion outside Liverpool Street Station. That, of course, in the East End of London. It's the the bordering area. You'll be maybe familiar with the Swiss building known as the Gherkin, which of course has been a familiar landmark throughout London for the past sort of couple of years or so. That's very close to Liverpool Street Station. They're getting this report of an explosion from the British Transport Police.
Yeah, no more information at the moment. No details of whether the police had been informed of a warning. Of course, it comes just after the rush hour ended, 9 o'clock. Most people at work probably by now, but emergency services, so assuming the fire brigade, ambulance service as well, and indeed British Transport Police, are going to London's Liverpool Street Station after reports there of an explosion.
Attack on London. Above ground and below.
We were all trapped like sardines, waiting to die.
Explosions tear through the heart of the British capital.
When they try to intimidate us, we will not be intimidated.
Tonight, on a special edition of the National, CBC correspondents in London, at the G8 summit in Scotland, and here at home. Plus, Brian Stewart on Who Did This? And Susan Ormiston on the risk in Canada.
This is a special edition of The National.
Well, there you go. Good evening, and welcome to a special edition of the English Defence League radio show. The title of the show tonight is Innocent Lives Matter, 7-7 Remembered. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell. And my wingman for this evening is Dave Agathon-Milner. Tonight, we are observing the 15th anniversary of the 7-7 London bombings by Islamic terrorists in 2005. We will also mark the 4th anniversary of the BLM terror attack in Dallas. Islamists and Marxists added more everyday citizens and law enforcement officers to their already long list of victims of the 7th day of July. Though these vicious crimes took place years ago, the good people of our countries will never forget those who suffered and died. The evil carried out on this day makes us resolute in our determination to oppose this wickedness, whatever its source. No surrender, ever. All that's necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. And before I pass it over to my friend and my colleague across the pond in Vermont, let me thank Dave for the scripting for this evening, and of course for the slides, Dave, as usual. Fantastic job. And with that, let me pass it over to my friend and colleague. Dave, take it away, brother.
Thank you, Jeff. Good evening to you. Good evening to everybody in the UK. Good afternoon, everybody in the States. Hello to everyone around the world and, of course, off Earth. Now, guys, this may not be a very long show because we're not going to talk about a lot of extraneous subjects here, just basically the 7-7 and 7-6 in Dallas, and you'll see why I call it 7-7 later, attacks. And we're concentrating on the victims of terrorism, be it terrorism through Islamism or terrorism through Marxism. This time, at least in 2016, it was by BLM. And we are going to run some montages, and you guys are going to get to hear the names of the victims involved in these attacks. And at the end of the show, we're going to end it with part 4. Of a series that we made off of a video created at a rally which was attended by Usama Dakdak, who is very knowledgeable about Islam. You'll find out some of the root causes some of the root motivations behind the 7/7 attacks. Yes, the leaders in the UK, the supposed leaders in the UK, said it was nothing to do with Islam, but we know that Islam is the prime mover of Islamic terror. And we're going to play you guys some things involved with that. And before we get into some of the other stuff, I'm going to play a montage that was made of more of the sounds of that particular day. But before I do that, Jeff, do we have anybody in the chat room?
Oh, just let me check, Dave. Just bear with me. No, it's all quiet. It's all quiet this evening, mate. It's all quiet.
All right, guys. I'm going to go ahead and play this. This is some more sounds of the day of 7/7/2005. And you guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Reports are just coming in of an explosion at Liverpool Street Station here in London.
On that old gate, I can confirm a bomb damaged the train, one carriage completely wiped out, at least 9 people very seriously injured and trapped, 2 confirmed fatalities.
And there's just an explosion. A big light appeared, and then it was just smoke everywhere. In the tunnel, we were trying to close the doors, because it was just smoke, we couldn't breathe.
Everyone's just asking what's happened. All we're being told is it's a major incident, and the whole of the London Underground is now shut.
Sorry, we've got major incidents. Sorry, can we move off in London?
We're now also hearing that there have been further incidents at Russell Square. Now, British Transport Police are saying that a power surge caused the incidents, some of which caused explosions.
Excuse me, please!
And literally, there was just a very loud bang. The train derailed. There was smoke everywhere. There's a lot of serious injuries down there as well, a lot of serious head injuries.
And she's on the tube somewhere, and she's at Russell Square, but no one's really telling us anything at the moment, so we're just kind of waiting to see what happens. It's just the not knowing the phones are down.
There are 2 trains stuck in tunnels at Edgware Road, and it's not known if they've collided or whether passengers remain on board.
Everyone thought they were going to die. People started saying prayers, praying to God, panicking, breaking the carriage windows with their bare hands, anything to get oxygen into the carriage.
You started listening to the people shouting on the carriage that blew up, and there was this awful screaming of people like, just help, 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 and it's just indescribable.
We're now hearing reports that a bus has been ripped apart in an explosion in central London.
One man has actually shown myself some footage that he recorded on his mobile phone of a bus exploding a few streets away, just near to Euston Station, people lying on the floor.
All of London's transport is currently disabled or stopped, whether that's buses or trains. So the safest thing that everybody can do is to stay where they are.
There is a suggestion that the explosion on the bus in Tavistock Square was caused by a suicide bomber. If they are confirmed, then that would be the first suicide bomber to have struck in the United Kingdom.
Our determination to defend our values and our way of life is greater than their determination to cause death and destruction to innocent people in a desire to impose extremism on the world.
People walking home, unable to use tubes or buses. But what was striking was the calmness of the crowds on the day that London suffered.
And there you go, guys. Welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. And those were some sounds of the day in 2005. 7/7, when Islamists attacked London and killed a lot of people and injured many others in the name of Islam. Jeff, do you have any comments so far?
Yeah, it's when you listen, you know, the total confusion. They thought there'd been a collision, there'd been a surge, and they really, really didn't know what was actually happening. It was, I think after time, they was making it up as they was going along. They didn't have the foundation to make a call until there was verification of what actually went down, especially when the bomb exploded on the bus. When a suicide bomber blew himself up at the back of the bus and ripped the bus apart. You see, it was horrific. That's all you can say. The thing that stood out was the commentator saying how calm people are with what's going on around you. If you've been was hurt by it, of course you are one of those that might have panicked and panicking, and might have been one of those that was sadly passing away. There was a lot of heroes there on the day, as we know from the stories out there. A lot of people was affected by it, and still people affected even today. The injuries were so severe. People lost arms, legs, eyes. You know, when you hear the deaths are bad enough. But there's life-changing issues that have happened to a lot of people. So we won't ever forget that. I won't ever forget when I was travelling home after having stents from Papworth Hospital, and hearing the first thing, there was a bit of confusion. As I said, first news that started coming through was from about 9 o'clock. And then as it got a bit closer to home, you hear the full extent of things that was unfolding. And it was very severe. It was very severe. And the thing about it was is that we, sadly, we was expecting an attack by these death cultists. We was expecting it. We didn't know when, we didn't know what time or what, but we knew it was coming. But it's like anything, when it happens, it's still the shock, it's still the sadness, it's still the horror, and it's still the anger that people would do that. So innocent people going about their work, and that so many people, was like what happened on 9/11, innocent people going about their business, blown up, killed. Murdered, basically. Murdered. Let's call it what it is. Terrorist murders. That's what it is. But, yeah, that's the things that went through my mind as we was playing out. It still shocked me. I still remember that time vivid, Dave. And I suppose I will, all the days I'm live on this earth. Because you don't forget those times, do you? With that, let me pass it back to you, Dave, because I know you've got a few things that you want to talk about that as well. Go ahead, mate.
Well, Jeff, thank you. And what struck me about it, the first thing I saw, just which this is odd that images are what the Unpleasant Blind guy is going to talk about here, but the first image that I can remember seeing was that bus just crumpled up like a banana. All right, that double-decker bus, one of the symbols of London, you know, the old red double-decker bus, right? And it was bent up like a banana. And to see, you guys can, if you go to the English Fence League radio show page at blogtalkradio.com, you'll see the slides. And there are some pictures in there of some cell phone pics, I'm sure, that some people took in the underground. That must have been like an outer circle of hell when those people were stuck in those subway tunnels and those bombs went off. Just awful, terrible stuff. And, of course, 2005, we had already had 9/11 over here in the States, and we were... of course, praying for people's people's safety and everything over there in the UK at that point, because we had been hit ourselves. And of course, Londoners are no strangers to terror attacks, but there had not been one on this scale in the UK. And that was what struck me, and still does. And it strikes me even more that the ideology that has made it possible for things like that to happen then and in the intervening years since then and now is still being tolerated in the UK and the States and in other places like that. But what I want to do, Jeff, unless you have further comments or there are comments from the chat room, is get into the names of the 7-7 victims. We have decided today that we are going to play a reading of those names that was done in 2018 by Jeff and myself and Leslie Ann Stoffel, who is an occasional team member here at the English Defense League radio show. It is always important. We always make sure that these names are read and heard. So, Jeff, if there is nothing from the chat room, or unless you have other comments, I'm prepared to go along with this.
No, it's very quiet tonight, Dave. It's very quiet. 40 people are down the pub. You know, the pub's open there. Social distancing. No, Dave, everything's quiet. So, yeah, let's do what we was going to do. So it's always very solemn this time of the year for us, isn't it? Always very solemn. Somehow you can't believe that you're going about your business next minute, you know. You went out on a tube or a bus, and next thing you know, you land on the pavement somewhere or you're laying trapped. And not knowing exactly what happened, because these things happen, you haven't got a clue, have you, Dave? You haven't got a clue what went down. All you know is you're hurting and you can't breathe because the smoke is filling up the carriage, you know. And that's how them poor people must have went through. And some of them, sadly, were dying. Other people were giving them the last rites and holding their hand and tell them to stay in, hang in there, you know, hang in there, because it's what one does to give comfort to people that are suffering. But so with that, Dave, I think you agree that is, if you're put in a situation like that, you're doing everything you possibly can to make sure to give comfort to those that have been affected by this horrific act. With that, Dave, let me pass it back to you, brother.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And I agree, yes, people do and did this sort of thing, giving comfort to people where they could, whether they were experts at treating medical illnesses and injuries or whether they were just ordinary people trying to make everyone feel better. This happened on 9/11, and it happened there in the UK on 7/7. And it also happened in Dallas. What I'm going to do, everybody, is I'm going to go ahead and play the reading of the names of the 7-7 victims, and then once that's over with, I am going to read the names of the 5 Dallas police officers who were killed by BLM terrorists in 2016, and those deaths occurred mostly when it was already 7-7 in the UK. The initial attacks took place on the 6th, on the evening of the 6th, during a Black Lives Matter demonstration in Dallas, but deaths weren't beginning to be confirmed until the 7th. All right. And that is what I'm going to do, folks. The reading of the names by Jeff and Leslie and myself is going to take about 6.5 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. We are recognizing the lives lost in the 7-7 attacks. And Jeff, you have the story. And Leslie, if you are prepared, what we usually do is read out the names. Mm-hmm. Jeff, if you want to read out the names for Russell Square,
And then, Leslie, if you would like to take Tavistock Square,
mm-hmm.
I'll take Altgate and Edgware Road.
Okay.
So, guys, if you want to start that, Jeff, we'll take our cue from you and you can start it. You've got the story.
The names of Russell Square. Ladies and gentlemen, there was 26 fatalities on that day. So with that, I think I'll read the names out of who lost their lives that day. And they'll never be forgot. We will never forget these people going about their business. This was Russell Square, as I say, 26 fatalities. And the first name I want to read is James Adams. Samantha Badham, Philip Beer, Anna Brandt, Kieran Cassidy, Rachel Chung for UN, Elizabeth Daplin, Arthur Frederick, Carolina Gluck, Gams Gnoru, Lee Harris, Ajara Ikajua, Emily Jenkins, Helen Jones, Susan Levy, Shelley Mather, Michael Matsuita, James Mays, B. Hans Mizakas, Mihaila Otto, Atik Sharifi, Ihab Sliman, Christian Small, Monica Suchoka, Marla Triverdi, and Adrian Johnson. With that, I'd like to pass it to you, Leslie.
Yes, Tavistock Square, there were 13 fatalities here, and the first name here is Anthony Ateye Batayi Williams, Jamie Gordon, Giles Hart, Marie Hartley, Miriam Hyman, Shahara Islam, Neetu Jane, Sam Lai, Chai Anuja Harasanangari, Anat Rosenberg, Philip Russell, William Wise, Gladys Wundawa. And I'll pass it to Dave to read the Aldgate 7 fatalities.
Thank you, Leslie. Altgate, 7 fatalities. Lee Bison, Benedetta Celtia, Richard Ellery, Richard Gray, Ann Moffat, Carrie Taylor, and Fiona Stevenson. And I will also read the names from Edgware Road, where there were 6 fatalities. Michael Stanley, Jonathan Downey, David Graham Falks, Colin William Morley, Jennifer Vanda Nicholson, and Laura Webb. And I would also like to beg everyone's indulgence because on the same day, July the 7th in 2016, Black Lives Matter terrorists killed 5 Dallas police officers, and I would like to read their names now. Those law enforcement officers' names were Dallas Area Rapid Transit Officer Brent Thompson, age 43. Dallas Police Department Officer Patrick Zamaria, age 32. Dallas Police Department Officer Michael Kroll, age 40. Dallas Police Department Senior Corporal Lauren Ahrens, age 48. Dallas Police Department Sergeant Michael Smith, age 55. Those are the names of lives lost in 7/7 in the United Kingdom and Dallas. May God comfort their families and friends.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We wanted to do that because it was so right that we remember the people that lost their lives at the hands of evil out there, you know. That's the sad thing about it. They don't accomplish anything. They can attack us. They do that, but it doesn't make us... the actual terrorist act itself just makes us more firm in a commitment against these evil thugs out there. And we won't ever back down. We will never surrender to people like these. We will fight them every step of the way, and we will prevail over this evil, because that's all it is. It's total evil. But, you know, we're better than that, and that's why we move forward. As we said earlier, there was a calmness about people. With all the hell that was let loose on our beloved London, people still went about their business and still did what they do at those moments. Of course, everybody's in shock, but they do it very quietly. As you know, we have been used to this sort of a situation, not quite as devastating as that, but we have lived through other terrorist attacks, especially where the IRA was concerned. So we was, you know, it's not as if we was, you know, unaware of this sort of situation that we had in the past. Over the last 30 years before that, until the cultists of death decided to put their fingers upon us. But anyway, I see you're back there, brother. Once again, thank you for sort of playing that audio of what we did, and it's as relevant today as it was a couple of years ago. So with that, Dave, let me hand the reins back to you for a second there, bro.
All right, Jeff. Thank you for filling in. I had to grab the door. All right. Now, I think, Jeff, that before we move on and talk about other things, I want to emphasize here that this BLM demonstration had people bust in. There will be people out there who say that that's a conspiracy theory and everything else, but we have the proof that it is not.
Right.
And we also have the proof that this was the beginning of the sorts of looting and terror that we have seen here in the United States and has been also witnessed in London, all right, this year. Just a little taste of it happened in 2016 during the Obama presidency. And, Jeff, if you're ready, I want to go ahead and play that proof that's about 2.5 minutes long. If you want to check the chat to see if there's anything in there or if you have further comments.
Yeah, I'm just looking in the chill. Hang about. Did I miss someone there? Bear with me. Yes, we've got Sir Tunic has joined us. He's sitting in the studio with us this evening. Good to see you. Thank you, buddy. It's been regular as of late, isn't he, Dave? So it's always present, nice to see you join us there. So thanks again for joining us. Back to you, Dave.
All right, guys. Please listen to this. This came from a local news source on the night of the BLM terror attack in Dallas in 2016. All right, and you'll hear some very significant things in there, and it'll remind you very much in microcosm of what has happened here this year in 2020. So if anyone tells you that people weren't brought in for this demonstration that turned into a terror attack, you can refer them to this. This is from WFAA-TV Channel 8 in Dallas, and you are listening to the English Defense League radio show. This will be about 2.5 minutes.
As we told you earlier, before we went to actually this news conference, we just showed you that there was some kind of situation going on near a 7-Eleven downtown Dallas area, in fact, on Ross Street. Our Jovan Panicker is there right now, where a number of police officers had gathered, also a crowd, and it looked like there was some kind of a standoff going on. Jovan?
Well, John, yeah, I guess this is the result when you push people further and further away as the officers create their perimeter, as they push people away. A lot of people have congregated here just outside this 7-Eleven. We're on San Jacinto and Griffin, and this 7-Eleven, they shut down about an hour ago because there were just so many people here. We had a chance to talk with someone who came in to actually buy some water, and they said people were just coming in and just taking alcohol out of the fridge in the area, and also just taking anything they can. You can see a lot of the trash on the ground. This is all stuff. I can't tell you that all this is stuff that's been looted, but for what we've been told is at least some of the items that you've seen here are things that people have stolen from here. You can see the wall of officers that are sort of protecting at least the establishment. As well as, well, the reason we got to this location so late was because our vehicles were parked in this parking lot, and we had a very hard time getting our vehicles out because there were so many people surrounding it, and also people putting their beer bottles and pouring their beer and alcohol all over our vehicles. So we had to remove our vehicles safely with all these people around. I would say there are about 300 to 400 people in this area. We're being told that there are buses on the way here to pick up some of these people. We do not know for what purpose. We do not know if they've come here, if DPD has called the buses out here to pick up these people. But at this point, what we're noticing is a lot of people here taunting officers. We're noticing people that are clearly intoxicated, people who are clearly mad. Not a very good mix right now, just outside this 7-Eleven. Again, it is closed. It's closed early. The owner asked DPD to shut down because people were coming in to steal items from that store.
Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show. With you, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Now, before Jeff, I turn it over to you, I want to ask the audience, any of that sound familiar to you? Any of that sound like the kind of news that you've been hearing now for almost a month over here in the United States and even in London? Okay, looting, vandalism, people trying to get in police officers' faces after police officers have been killed. That was 7-6 and 7-7 in Dallas in 2016. Jeff?
Yeah, this is typical mob culture, you know, Antifa, the Marxists and the Black Lives Matter mobs, because that's what they are. They're organized to cause mayhem, you know, funded by some very, very nefarious people. Soros, just to shout out to Soros, they're coming for you, just to let you know. You think you got it all covered? No, you haven't. No, you haven't. There's plenty of money trails there. I'm not saying no more about him, but they're coming. But I would like to also continue to say all this Black Lives Matter crap that we've been seeing. Yes, what we saw with an officer, police officer, standing on someone's neck for almost 9 minutes while his life ebbed from him was a disgusting, inhuman act. And he should be prosecuted as high as you possibly can what the jurisdiction should be handed out to him, because he was a total sadist towards this man who was handcuffed, who was on the floor. It was disgraceful. But what happened after was, it seems to me, of course, I mean, people are angry, but that doesn't give you, you know, the opportunity to go on a rampage, burn people's business to the ground, loot shops, kill people that was looking after a shop for a friend, especially an ex-officer, shot dead for no reason, was just protecting his friend's property. It's just an excuse. But guess what? All those that was involved, you think you got away. No, you're not. You know what's happened to you. You are in custody. You are waiting for, you know, your upcoming, what's coming to you. You think you got away with it. But the thing about it is, most of them don't realise, and they're so thick and stupid, that they don't realise that these days there's cameras, there's phone cameras, there's CCTV. You got your bank the right. You do something like that in the fairies, you're going to be caught. And that's what's happened. Hundreds of them. At least I hear now, Dave, at least over 300 plus. What happened in the United States, I don't know what's happening over here, but the same sort of thing. And one of the main ones was trying to pull down a statue. Yes, he was one ahead of Antifa and other groups. He is one of their main men. They got you. You got to wait a long, long time, mate. You got to wait. I just want to say that. Where they think that law and disorder works, it don't. You will pay the piper in the end. Am I right, Dave? Back to you.
Yeah, Jeff, you are right. But we are remembering the victims today. And to that, unless there's something, Jeff, from the chat room, I'm going to go ahead and play a tune in the memory of the victims of 7/7, both in London and in Dallas.
No, it's all right. So quiet at the moment in the chat. You go ahead, brother.
Okay, this is for the 7/7 victims in London and in Dallas. You guys are listening to the English Fence League radio show. This will be about 4.5 minutes.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good.
There you go, and I think that's quite appropriate for what we've been talking about for this evening, remembering of the victims of 7/7, and of course what happened in Dallas to those five police officers as well. Yeah, Dave, my goodness me, it's like you just look back in time, it's like it happened just yesterday, all these things, isn't it? And what I will say, though, is that all this where they think they're going to change things, and you're getting some stupid people taking a knee, especially footballers and things like that. Even now, they've even realised this is political. And, you know, to be honest with you, what they want and what they will get is two things. It will never be achieved what they want. It's so Marxist, it's more Marxist than the commies. You know, it's never going to happen. And people are turning their backs on it. Yeah, and they're turning their backs on it because it is typical bullshit, ladies and gentlemen. And common sense will prevail through. Sadly, we've got to go through a stupid time, which has happened. For people also, hang about, what's going on? Sometimes they just, the light comes on, you know. Sometimes the light comes on, there's no one at home, you know. But that's the situation, apathy. You know, I'm going to go with the flow. I'm going to be a sheeple. Not me, not Dave, and not the majority of us. We knew what was happening. We knew what he was trying to do. It's unacceptable and it's unachievable. So dream on. Better luck next time. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. And we're going to conclude the show with part four of a series that we've been doing by Usama Dakdok. And this all came from a video that was made that's over an hour long, but we've cut it up into less than 15-minute bites that are easier for us to handle and play here on the show and things of that nature. So I'm going to go ahead and play this. As you're listening to it, guys, as you're listening to Usama Dakdok talking about the true nature of Islam, just remember that this is the prime mover. This is what motivated the people who perpetrated the 7/7 attacks. And this is what is motivating many of the people who are aligning themselves with Black Lives Matter and all of that. Okay. In the UK and in the States as well, the Nation of Islam. So Jeff, if there's nothing from the chat room, if you're ready, I'll go ahead and run this. This will be just over 12 minutes. You ready?
Yeah, go for it, Ty.
All right. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show, and this is Usama Dakdok speaking about the true nature of Islam, part four.
Now, let's look at what Muhammad, or what the Quran teach about Jesus. Quran chapter 3, verse 59 and 60.
Surely the example of Jesus with Allah is like the example of Adam. He created him from dust. Then he said to him, "Be, so he will be. The truth is from your Lord, so do not be of the doubters."
Not serious, so he will be. Some people said this is bad translation. I said, no, it is bad Arabic grammar. But that's okay. So he's telling us, no big deal. You see, Adam was created without having a father or a mother, and Jesus was created with a mother without a father. As a matter of fact, it is easier in the case of Jesus than it is with Adam, because at least Jesus have a mother. How Allah describes the similarity between Adam and Jesus, he tells us that he created him from dust. Yes, indeed, Allah created Adam from dust. Now, do we read in the Quran, Allah created Jesus from dust? No. Go to Quran chapter 19, go to Quran chapter 3, and read what Allah said about how Jesus came in this world. Now, he said, he also said to him, be. Did Allah tell Adam, be? No. Allah breathed into Adam's nostrils, according to the Quran. I'm not talking about the Bible. According to Allah, fashioned Adam in his hand, and he breathed in his nostrils, and he became a living creature. Did Allah tell Isa, be? So the verse means nothing. There's no value. There's no teaching in the verse. And Muslims use this all the time. Jesus is like Adam. Adam is like Jesus. No, there is no similarity. Jesus created Adam. And Jesus was not created by anybody. He is God Almighty who came in the flesh.
And a messenger to the children of Israel. Indeed, I came to you with a sign from your Lord. I create for you the figure of a bird from the clay. So I breathe into it, so it will become a bird by Allah's permission. And I heal the blind and the leper, and I raise the dead by Allah's permission. And I inform you about what you eat and what you store in your houses. Surely in this is a sign for you, if you were believers.
This is Quran chapter 3, verse 49, where Muslims have a big problem. You know why? Remember I told you earlier that Allah in the Quran have 99 names? Here we go. He gave four of these names to Jesus. He is Al-Khaliq, the creator. He is the healer, Al-Shafi. He is the Muhi, the one who raised the people from the dead. He is Alam al-Ghuyub, the known of the unseen. Now we know from that verse, Quran chapter 3 and verse 49, that Allah is Jesus and Jesus is Allah. Because Allah will not share these four attributes, creator, healer, raise the one who raised the dead, and the knowing of the unseen or the unknown, except Allah. Allah alone has these four names. Muhammad did not even have one of them. But let's talk about what the Quran teaches about the crucifixion. In that one verse, Muhammad denied the crucifixion. One ambiguous verse in the Quran, and Muhammad used to deny the foundation of Christianity. And in the same time, Muslims in America will tell you, we believe in Jesus. What Jesus? Listen.
And they're saying, surely we killed the Christ Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. And they did not kill him, and they did not crucify him. But it was made to appear to them, and surely those who disagree about him are in doubt of him. They do not have any knowledge of him except following the conjecture, and they did not kill him for certain. Yet Allah raised him up to himself, and Allah was dear wise.
They did not kill Jesus. They did not crucify Jesus. It was made to appear to them. And when you hear the interpretation of Muslim scholar, you cannot help but to laugh. They will tell you, when the Jewish people went to arrest Jesus in the upper room, somehow Allah figured out that they're going to deceive Jesus, they're going to kill Jesus, and Allah is the best deceiver. That's what this verse is about. So Allah deceived the Jewish people by making Jesus and his 19 disciples Jesuses. So when they opened the room, guess what they found in the room? 20 Jesus. They all look alike. Same voice, same height, same mustache. So the Jewish people tell the Jesuses, which one of you is the real Jesus? If you're not going to tell us which one is the real Jesus, we're going to crucify all of you. So they say, okay, leave us alone for a minute. And then Jesus asks, which one would like to have a better place in heaven? You know, front view, beach, more women, whatever. That's how Muslims think of heaven. Me, Lord, who is a young man. He said, no, not you, somebody else. Me, Lord, the same guy. No, not you, somebody else. Peter, John, Thomas, anybody else? No. And then Allah told them, that is the one who will take your place. So all of them turned back to the normal looks on their body and face. Jesus escaped from the window up to the sky, and that little one who made look like Jesus is the one who died instead of Jesus on the cross. They deceive, and Allah deceive, and Allah is the best deceiver. Makes sense, is it? Now let's read what Isa, that Jesus of Muhammad, said in the Quran, in chapter 19 and verse 33 and 34. This is Isa's word, the little baby who came out of his mama's belly talking baby. Read the Quran chapter 19, so you know what I'm talking about. He did not say, wah, wah, he just talked. Here's some of the words which Jesus said.
And peace be on me the day I was born, and the day I die, and the day I am raised alive. This is Jesus, son of Mary, the saint of truth about which they doubt.
Did really Jesus said that? Peace on me the day I die. Yes, in the future. Jesus will come back in the end of time. He will have four wives. He will break the cross, meaning get rid of Christianity and Christians. He will kill the pig, meaning he will get rid of the Jews. and he'll be a good Muslim, and then he will die. Future tense, you know. Bismillah means the day I will die. How about that verse, Quran chapter 3, verse 55? And here Allah is telling us what?
When Allah said, O Jesus, surely I will cause you to die, and I will raise you up to me, and purify you from those who became infidels, and make those who follow you above those who became infidels until the day of resurrection. Then to me is your return, so I will judge between you about what you were differing.
Notice here, it is present tense. Allah is speaking to Isa, the Jesus of Muhammad. He said, I am causing you to die. Present tense. Let's go a little bit even better than that. Let's go to the future tense. No, the past tense, apologize. The past tense.
I did not tell them except what you had commanded me, that serve Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness among them as long as I was with them. So when you caused me to die, you were the watcher over them, and you are the witness of all things.
فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي in the Arabic language. When you caused me to die. Past tense. And I can go on and on and on with many of contradiction of Muslim scholars' interpretation to more verses to say, yes, Jesus died. Well, he died for 3 hours. Maybe he died for half a day. Maybe he died. Did he die or not? The Quran said they did not kill him or nor crucify him. Notice the order, even weird order. You should crucify somebody first before you kill him. But that's okay. Allah does not know right orders of anything. But now we know that he did die. By the way, because of that one verse, my friend Mark Gabriel, he used to be a professor in the Azhar University, used to be an imam in a mosque in Cairo. He became a Christian because of that one verse. Because he always believed that Jesus did not die. Somebody looked like Jesus, died instead of Jesus. But Jesus said to him, what? When you caused me to die, past tense. What about what the Quran teach about prayer?
Muhammad gave a very specific pattern of 5 public prayers each day. Prayers are to be repetitive and formal. So, when you will have completed the standing and sitting, so perform the prayer. Surely the prayers were prescribed at fixed times for the believers.
I wish I had more time to teach you about Muslim prayer, but we'll do it some other time, God's willing. How about forgiveness?
Muhammad could not forgive sins, and he could not ask God to forgive others.
Notice the verse in the Quran and the numbers Muhammad used in the Quran are always taken from the Bible. When you talk about forgiveness, which number do you think will be there? 70. Why? Because that's the same number which Peter was talking with Jesus about forgiveness. Listen to that.
Ask forgiveness for them, or do not ask forgiveness for them. If you ask forgiveness for them 70 times, so Allah will not forgive them.
No forgiveness in Islam. Yes, it is forgiveness. You just go ahead and kill a bunch of infidels and kill yourself. The first drop of the blood of the martyr for Allah will forgive all his sin. And that's how he guaranteed to enter paradise. But besides that, no. No forgiveness for sin.
Muhammad taught that God ultimately decides who he will forgive. A person has no say or choice. He forgives whom he wills, and he torments whom he will.
That's Quran chapter 3, verse 129. That is the nature of Islam. That's why Muslims do not have peace. They can do all the good things, the pillars of Islam, and go over and over many times and pray many times. There is no peace because they have no forgiveness. They know they cannot receive forgiveness because it's all up to Allah. Even the second man who led the Muslim people after Muhammad by the name Abu Bakr Siddiq, he said, if he have one foot in paradise and the other one out, he will not trust Allah because may Allah change his mind. After all, Allah is a big deceiver and Allah will remove him from paradise and send him to hell. Good works.
Muhammad taught that good works will erase sin.
And that is what everything Islam is. That's what I told you earlier. Muslims don't believe in anything. They just do stuff. Hopefully, it will work. Hopefully, Allah will choose for them to be forgiven. Hopefully, Allah will choose for them to be in paradise. But there is no guarantee of anything.
Surely, good deeds drive away the evil deeds.
Good deeds drive away evil deeds. Quran 11, 114. How about mankind?
God controls the fate of all men. Your eternal destiny is up to God. not you.
So why people do anything? Why even go to a mosque? Why even go to the Hajj? Why you do any of the things of Islam if it's all up to Allah?
So Allah leads astray whom He wills and guides whom He wills, and He is the dear, the wise.
How can be Allah dear and wise and lead people astray? And if Allah lead people astray and the devil lead people astray, what is the difference between Allah and the devil? Any difference? That's Quran chapter 14, verse 4.
And there you go, guys. An excuse for everything. And in Islam, everything has an excuse. Welcome back to the Dean Spence League Radio Show, this special edition with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, your comments before we close out the show, brother.
Yeah, well, he always makes some good points and says he knows more about the cult of death than I will ever know or will ever dream to know. Always very interesting, and always good to hear Osama doing his thing. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I was making a cup of tea, but I was listening to it, and so I'm a bit thirsty. Just to let you know, Situni has made a comment, actually. It's the first couple of comments he's made tonight, Dave. And he goes on to say, Formula Racing took a knee today. He said, I will not watch it, just like the football. And I commented and said, nor I, Tunic. It's pathetic and appeasing. I think Tunic is very similar. And I think, like you, Dave, we don't take a knee to anybody. We don't take a knee to anybody. Only our saviour, and that's not on anybody in this world. And it's appeasing, it's dimitude, it's cowardly. We should never take a knee or bend a knee to anybody. But we've spoke about this many times, haven't we, Dave? But let me pass it back to you, because I didn't watch Formula One today. I'm glad I didn't, actually. I'm glad I didn't, because I'd have switched it over. If I was seeing them taking a knee for it, I said, you know what, jog on, you've lost me. I find other things to do. I don't want to participate in any type of a racing thing where they're taking knees for something pathetic. Anyway, Dave, back to you. What do you think about that?
Well, no, I won't take a knee, Jeff, but it is time to close down the show. I don't know if you have picked out a proper tune to close the show with, brother, but what I'm going to just say for my final in this program is that we should never forget the names of the victims of these 7/7 attacks, either in London or in Dallas. We should always remember that these people were just going about their daily lives and doing their daily business. And as Usama just showed us, there is no forgiveness in Islam. And equally, there is no caring for life in Marxism. And these are the two evils that our world faces today. So I just want to say to everyone, we will see you Thursday. Everyone, be prosperous. Be blessed. And Jeff, no surrender ever. Back to you. No, close out the show.
No surrender. Yeah, no, Dave. Ladies and gentlemen, we are closing the show down a little bit earlier this evening. Been a bit under the weather. I haven't gone to no details, but we decided we'll take a, we won't go run right away through to the 90 minutes for this evening. But we'll be back again Thursday. Hopefully we'll be able to run the full time. I've got to thank Dave, because he understands I've had a few issues. I've had a terrible migraine the last couple of days, I've got to tell you guys. And you can't concentrate properly when you've got that hanging over you, you know. But I've got to thank Dave for being very caring. My wingman, looking out for me. So, Dave, once again, I've got to thank Dave for the great slides, the script, and also Sir Tune. Thanks for joining us this evening, mate. It's good to see you becoming one of our regulars. And Dave, would you do me a favour before we close down the show? Could you hand in one of our gold stars? You know, we haven't done that for a little while, but would you mind passing to Tunic one of our special gold stars for people that frequent our chat room and become regulars? Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead. There you are, Satunic. Yes, welcome, and we appreciate anyone who comes into the chat. We certainly do. All right, there you go, Satunic. Back to you, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Yeah, as I say, he's been a regular gentleman, and you know, it's good to see. It was good to see him. But yeah, Dave, as I say, we are now we're going to wind the show right down now. But before I go, I'd like to pass it over to Dave for his final thoughts, because I know you've got some final thoughts for this day. As I say, you know, in fact, the 7-7, as you know, would be Tuesday, but we thought that we would commemorate it for this Sunday, because we don't do a show for Tuesday. So this is our memorial for Tuesday, those years ago. The years have gone by so quick, but the thoughts of the horror that happened on London that day will never ever be forgotten. It's the same as what happened in the United States in Dallas, where those five police officers were basically executed. Absolutely horrific, but this is the world we live. There's some evil people out there, totally evil. Just be very aware that there are people out there who despises us and despises what we stand for, and they want chaos in our world. Well, we don't want chaos. We want peace and we want tranquility. Unfortunately, we've got to fight for these things, and that's what it is. It's a fight, but we will prevail. Good will always prevail over evil, and they are downright evil. With that, Dave, let me pass you today for your final thoughts on today. Back to you, brother.
Well, Jeff, it's been a good show, and I hope that everyone will keep the people who have been injured and are still alive from these attacks in their thoughts and prayers, because this isn't going to be over, and we're all going to have to fight this fight together, because it's obvious our governments have told us you're on your own. So let us be on our own, and let us join together in the resistance to all of this evil. Again, Jeff, back to you to close out the show.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Yeah, and everything you said there. Dave, would you like to find... have you got a tune that you'd like to play us out with this evening? I want to leave you, because, Dave, you do so much for the show, and I think it's nice now and again for you to choose something a little bit special for us to, you know, finish the show on. So let me pass it back to you, buddy.
Okay, Jeff. I'm kind of doing this on the fly, but I've picked out one, and... guys, we're going to close out the show with this. It's called Heaven Is Now My Home. And then Jeff will, of course, do the final afterward. This will be our playout tune for the English Fence League radio show. Here we go.
I'm sorry that I left you. I know you feel alone, but God told me that He needed me. He called me to come home. In what seemed to be an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, an An angel gently took my hand and led me toward the sky. As I ascended into heaven, beyond the pearly gates, angels were rejoicing. Then I saw his radiant face. God's eye shone down upon me from the glory of his throne. He said, "Enter into paradise, 'cause heaven's now your home." I fought the fight, I finished the race. Throughout the trial, I kept my faith. No longer do I suffer, my body's been made whole. I'm flying with the angels, and heaven's now my home. God told me not to worry, he said you'd be okay, because eternity's forever, and we'll meet again someday. I fought the fight, I finished the race. Throughout the trial, I kept my faith. No longer do I suffer, my body's been made whole. I'm flying with the angels, and heaven's now my home. Flying with the angels, heaven's now my home.
Very nice tune to see us out tonight. My goodness me, thank you, Dave. I knew that you'd have something a little bit special there, especially on this occasion for this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as, sad. It's been a sad occasion, hasn't it? But, you know, it's got to be done. It has to be done. And we want to pay our respects for those people, innocent people, just going about their business, that lost their lives for something so evil. But, yeah, we'll be back again with another show. Hopefully I'll be back on form again, and I won't have this bloody migraine hanging over me. But anyway, guys, thank you once again for joining us this evening. Now, and I know you listen to us all over the world, and we really do appreciate you. I've always said it, if there wasn't you, there wouldn't be us. So thank you for your continuing support for the cells and, of course, the organisation. So with that, this is the English Defence League radio show for myself and Dave, signing off for this evening. But we'll be back again this Thursday. Stay safe out there. Be always be vigilant. And if you're doing a bit of social distancing, be very careful at the same time, okay? So with that, for myself and Dave, good night, God bless, and we will see you this Thursday. So with that, good night, God bless, and see you soon. Bye-bye.